help with that. This sermon kind of more to me than was anybody else, because I don't know anybody's situation, but I know my situation. And the book of Hosea said, my children are destroyed for lack of knowledge. I would hate to stand before God and say, I didn't know I was supposed to do that. I didn't know I was supposed to be doing that. But that is what this lesson is about. God wants everyone to go to heaven with Him. He wanted them so much that He provided the way. He provided the sacrifices. So, first, I'm going to look at is in Matthew 16. I can get my voice to work. Matthew chapter 16. Christ was with His disciples and he said, who do men say that I am? He said, some John the Baptist, some Elijah, and some Jeremiah, and one of the prophets. This is chapter 16, start with verse 15. And He said unto them, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And He answered him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Who do men say that I am? He said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what Christianity is all built upon, that Christ was the Son of God. He came and lived. He died on the cross, and He was rose again. He came to die for all mankind, has their sins taken away. So He is, other verses says, He is our foundation. He was the head cornerstone. He was the fact Christianity was built on Him being the Son of God. So He said, I will build my church. That's singular. But every church that is established that follows His same command is His church. So Peter and the other apostles went all the world establishing His church, just like He did. John 3:16. You should be able to quote this, but I'm going to read it anyway. To make sure that all people could go to heaven, God said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. It didn't say will not perish. It said should not perish or shall not perish. That still leaves the choice up to man. Man makes a choice. Do you believe that Christ is the Son of God or do you not? Verse 17. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he does not believe in the name of the only Son of God. It's very important that we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The Ethiopian eunuch, he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. When many people are baptized today, they ask, do you believe Jesus Christ? And everyone makes that confession. Yes, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Because if they don't, Christianity is of no effect to them. So God had His promises. Jesus, before He left after His resurrection, in Mark 16, verse 15, told His disciples, said, I came, I died, I died on the cross. In 3 days I rose again, and now I have established my, I'm going to establish my church. Go tell the gospel to the whole world. Mark chapter 16, verse 15, and He said unto them, talking to His disciples, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. The gospel would be His death, his life, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension back to heaven, and the fact that he's going to come again one more time. Verse 16, whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. When you say and, believes and is baptized, they're equal. You can't do one and leave the other one off, because if they're connected. He said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He gave the apostles the Holy Spirit in Acts 2. It's our next verse. He said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you in Acts 1. And then Acts 2, the Spirit came. And in verse 36, chapter 2 of Acts. Let all the house of Israel therefore know certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. He wasn't just a nobody, but God rose him from the dead, and he made him both Lord and Christ. Verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? So you've got Peter speaking by the Holy Spirit. You've got he told Peter he would give him the keys of the kingdom. So the very first sermon, they said, what shall we do? So you've got an apostle, you've got the Holy Spirit. So is this a good place to start? What should I do? What was the answer? He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What shall we do? That was his answer. It says, repent and be baptized for the remission of sin. That was the purpose of the baptism, to wash away his sin, to contact the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Verse 39. For the promises to you and your children, to all that are far off, every one of whom the Lord himself shall call. And with many other words and of both witnesses and words, he bore witness, continued to exhort them, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there added to them about 3,000 souls. We find going down in verse 47, it says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Matthew 16, he says, I will build my church. We find here in Acts 2, people added to that church. So it was in the future, and now it is in the present. The Lord added to the church. Those who were being saved. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, I'm just going to look at verse 4, but it says, to the saints who are in Ephesus, the faithful in Jesus Christ. He can equally say to the saints that are in Marshfield who are faithful in Jesus Christ. The letter is just as much to us as it was to them. In verse 4, it says, even as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. Did you know you're supposed to be holy and blameless? How can I get holy and blameless? I can remember my sins from way back. How can I say I'm holy and blameless? Christ's blood washes away all sins. The sins before, all I did before I became a Christian, to the ones daily that I keep committing, and I ask God to forgive us. So when God looks at me, blood washes away all those sins, and I can stand holy and blameless. God through Jeremiah says, I will be their God, I'll be their people, and I will remember their sins no more. Isn't that wonderful? God is not going to remember my sins, the ones I've sinned, the ones I've washed away in His blood. So when He looks at me, they're not there. He sees a faithful servant of God serving Him. Christ's blood is powerful. It washes away all sins from everybody that obeys His word. In Acts chapter 24, verse 25. This is Paul before Felix. How am I supposed to act as a Christian? What's coming? In verse 25, when he was talking to Felix, he said he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and coming judgment. Righteousness? How am I supposed to live right with God? Self-control? How am I supposed to control my body, my thoughts? Judgment's coming. Those are sober thoughts. So if I'm pleasing to God, I have got to live righteous, and I've got to control myself. My body doesn't do anything that my mind doesn't tell it to. So if I can control myself. Back over in Galatians chapter 4. Bible drill. Find it. Galatians chapter 4, we're going to read verses 4 through 7. Jesus promised, God promised Abraham that through his seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Verse 4 of chapter 4. And when the fullness of time had come, Jesus, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who was under the law, that he might receive the adoption of sons. Because you are sons, God has sent forth his Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. For you are no longer slaves, but sons. And if sons, then heir through God. Did you know you were the Son of God? God has made us sons. We're not a slave with no benefits, no say in the matter. We are sons of God. That makes us on a different plateau than just a nobody at the bottom of the ladder. Back in chapter 3 of Galatians, starting with verse 24. Actually, we'll read 23. Now, before faith came, we were captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. We were under the law, taught us what was right, what was wrong. It had its purpose to bring us to Christ. Christ is here. He's fulfilled his purpose. He took it out of the way. Christ is here, and we can live by faith. Verse 25. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under the guardian. Verse 26. For in Christ Jesus, we are all sons of God through faith. For as many of us that were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. How do we get in Christ? It says we were baptized into Christ, the same way that He's washed all of our sins away, made us as sons of God. We have sonship. We have been put on Christ. It says, be you imitators of me as I am of Christ. We are to be Christ-like, and we are to live like Him. Verse 26. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is not male nor female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, offspring according to promise. God wants all people to be saved and go to heaven. It doesn't matter if you're a free man, if you're a slave, if you're the color of your skin. He wants all people because he created all men equally. He created all men to come to him. First John chapter 1. We've used this a lot, but what's in it is still the truth. First John chapter 1, starting with verse 5. This is a message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Light is compared to righteousness. Darkness is compared to sin. So there's no sin close to God. God is light. He's righteous. Verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. You can't be in a dark room and a light room at the same time. Light and dark doesn't mix. God and sin doesn't mix. So if I have sin in my life and I say I'm still right with God, then I'm lying. It says we lie and do not practice the truth. Verse 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. If we're walking righteous, walking with God, then we're in the light. And his blood cleanses us from all sins. That's the sins that I commit every day. That I remember I've sinned, or I ask God to forgive me of those sins. He continues to cleanse me all the time. So when he looks down at me, I'm still holy and blameless. I'm walking in darkness, whole different story. You can't have it both ways. It's either one or the other. Verse 8. For if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. God knows where we're at. God knows if we're trying to live righteously. God knows the devil tricks us up every once in a while, but we don't stay in that sin. We get back out of it and get back in the light. There's a difference between in the gutter and staying in the gutter than tripping and falling and getting back out. Verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 10. If we say we have no sin, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. We will never get above sin. We are always going to be sin in our lives, but we don't have to stay in that gutter. So we can't say, I'm above sin. That's not the way it works. Walk in the light, and we'll continue to bless us, God. Back to Ephesians 1 again. Picked out one verse a while ago. I got a bunch more to read this time. Ephesians chapter 1. Starting with verse 3, we're going to go all the way through verse 10. God chose a certain people to be his children. Those were righteous people. Those were the ones who had their sins took away, the ones who followed of him. He said, this chosen people is going to be mine. He predestined that, or he pre-thought of it. That was his plan. He wasn't. So to get in that group of people, we had to follow his commandments and get into that select people. Was he a respecter of persons? No. This is the rules. If you want in there, you got to follow the rules. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. God blesses his children. God blesses God's family more than we can ever think about. Verse 4 we read before. Even as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the earth, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. God had this all planned out before he even created man. God knows everything from the beginning to the end. He knows. Verse 5, he predestined us for the adoption of the sons for Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his great, glorious grace, in which he has blessed us in the beloved. Verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. God lavished his grace on us. That is about the best word that you give us, more than what we could ever. Our cup runneth over, so to speak. Verse 9. Making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose that he set forth in Christ Jesus, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. God's plan, how he was going to redeem man, both was a mystery. The old people in the Old Testament didn't know. Who could have a plan saying you're going to kill somebody, but he's going to come back alive? I know in mystery TV that's a light, but God, the devil thought he had it made when he killed Christ. He didn't count on God raising him from the dead. Chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 22. Did you know this is what God wants us to do? Don't be destroyed for lack of knowledge. Ephesians 4, starting verse 22 through 24. To put off your old self, which belongs to the former manner of life and is corrupt through the deceitful sins. Put it off. The old man, your sinful life before, put it off. Verse 23. And to be renewed in the spirit of your minds and put on the new self created after the likeness of God to true righteousness and holiness. Take off my old man of sin, take him off, and put on the new man of Christ, righteousness. We've got to be different after we're baptized and become a Christian than what we were before. All things have become new. All things have become new. Not just part things. I can't hold on to my sins and still be right with God. I'm hurrying along like a herd of turtles. Chapter 5 of Ephesians. Ephesians tells me more how to live and what not to do than any book. It's got me in the toes and the shins and the heart and everywhere else. Chapter 5, starting with verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Who are we to imitate? God. Did you wonder who that was supposed to, how you're supposed to live? Who you're supposed to imitate? Verse 2, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering of sacrifice to God. Walk in love as Christ. Christ loved us so much that he died on the cross. How much should we love God back? Verse 3. But sexual immorality and all impurity, covetousness must not even be named among you, which is proper among the saints. These sins should not be among the saints. You're a new man. Verse 4. Let there be no filthiness, no foolish talking, no crude jokes, which are out of place, but instead let us be thanksgiving. Verse 5. If you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral and impure, who is covetous, which is idolatry, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. No immoral person has a place in the kingdom of God. God illustrates his people as being the kingdom and as being the king. He illustrates as being the church. Christ is the head. He illustrates it as the church is his bride and he is the groomsman. It's all talking about the same people. You can't live in sin and be right with God. Lost where I was at. Verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God is come upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partakers with them. For at one time you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all good and right and truth. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Walk in the light. Next verse. Back to Matthew 22. When I was in Washington, several times I've seen this, freedom isn't free. And I've seen the thousands of gravesites and names and stuff on the plaques. They died so we could have physical freedom. Freedom isn't free. It costs God his son. It costs Jesus his life on a cruel, cruel cross. Freedom isn't free. What's it going to cost me? Jesus paid the price of his precious blood. He redeemed me back. What's it going to cost me? So could I just say thank you, God, and go on my merry way? What does it cost me? Matthew 22, verse 37. And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and first commandments, and the second is like this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love God how much? If it says all, how much is all? All your heart, all your soul, all your mind. That doesn't leave any room for this old man that I put off. And love my neighbor. Some neighbors are easier to love than others. But sometimes I love him so much that I don't wish him any ill. I try to do good things for him. Because who knows when his heart's going to change. If I being a light to him now, how's he going to know? Luke 9. Luke chapter 9. What's it going to cost me? Starting with verse 23 said, and he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life will lose it, and whoever shall lose his life for my sake shall save it. For what does it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Deny self, take up your cross, and follow me. What's it going to cost me? Freedom isn't free. God's word doesn't spread itself. Our neighbors don't know that there is a way out of sin unless we show them in that direction. Romans 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. This is Paul in his writing to the church at Rome. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. But do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that be testing and discern what the will of God is, good and acceptable and perfect. A living sacrifice. He should illustrate that you are the light of the world. Many ways you say, when people see us in our work, do they know we're Christians? We've become a Christian. We are following Christ. Christ sees us. We are a living sacrifice. He knows. They know that we are a special people. Freedom isn't free. What's it going to cost you? 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God? Did you know that? My body is the temple of God. The Spirit of His Son lives within me. So everywhere I go and everything I do, I'm taking God's temple with Him, with me. So you're a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, who you have from God. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Christ died for us. When we obey the gospel, He makes us His children. He gives us helpers, the Holy Spirit within us. And we need to realize we can't just do what we want to do every day. We need to live what God wants us to do each day. Same chapter, backing up to verse 9. Do you not know? Do you know? Paul asked, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither sexually immoral, or idolaters, or adulterers, or men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor greedy, or drunkards, nor revilers or swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. These are listed many, many, we think, bad sins. There's not any sin will keep you out of God. And this is what he wrote to the church of Corinth. Did you not know this? Verse 11, and such were some of you. If that's true in the church of Corinth, is it true in the church in Marshville? All of us have fallen into sin some way or another. Yes, we have been sinners. But what? But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our Lord. They were just sinful people, but now they've been washed and cleansed and sanctified. Out of darkness, into light. That's what's amazing about God. He can take a vilest of sinner and make him into a saint. Did you know? Freedom isn't free. But God has a place for all these sinners that are not going to repent. It's prepared for the devil and his angels, for all those people that practice sinful. But he's got a wonderful place prepared for his children. Hebrews 9 and 27 says that appointed a man once to die and then the judgment. When Paul was talking about to Phyllis, he mentioned judgment. It's appointed a man once to die and then the judgment. Once the spirit departs from the body, the body's dead. Our spirit's not, but the body is. We can't change our spiritual condition after death. So we must be ready to go before death. Because judgment is coming to everyone. Did you know? Hebrews 10. It's a big book way on back here. Hebrews 10, starting verse 22. He's talking to Christians here. He's talking that God has saved you. He has done many things for you. Verse 24, talking to Christians. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from the evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water. We are blameless and holy and stuff. We've got our bodies washed and stuff. We can draw near to God with clean conscience. We can, knowing that He is going to be welcome us as sons. So we have confidence. Verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Even though God delays Christ coming back again, we must still remain to be faithful and still remain to be one of his children. Verse 24, let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works. Verse 25. Not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some is, but encourage one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. He's talking about Sunday morning or Sunday, whether you come whatever time you come. Do not neglect to come to worship God. Some people were scared and they didn't come back when the persecution was. He's only set aside Sunday as a day of worship, thanking God for all he's done for us, thanking Jesus Christ for his death on the cross. Freedom isn't free. God wants to be praised. God wants to be thanked. God wants to be praised and glorified for all this He's done to us. And He gives us Sunday to do that. No one can worship for you. Nobody can live a Christian life but you. Verse 26. For if we go on sinning deliberately, after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remains no remaining sacrifice for sins. James said, if you know to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. If we know to worship God on Sunday or whatever, to not do some of these sins that God has condemned, and we sin deliberately, receive the knowledge of the truth, remains no more sacrifice for sin. 27. But a fearful expectation of judgment and fiery fire that will consume the adversary. Judgment's coming. Am I going to be condemned because of lack of knowledge? I didn't know I was supposed to come and worship Him. I didn't know I was supposed to leave this old man over here and be this new man for God. Verse 31 is the scariest of all. Verse 31, for it is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. That's scary. God has power to save us or to send us into hell. Ephesians 5, we've only got about three or four more verses to look at. Ephesians 5, as we talked about before, Christ talked about church being the body and His being the head. Here in Ephesians, He talks about the church being His bride. And He is the bridegroom. Verse 25 of chapter 5 of Ephesians. Husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her, that He might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that He might present the church to Himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. We are that church. He's washed us. He's cleansed us. So we need to make sure that we stay in that condition. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way it should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Parents have the obligation. If you decide to have children, you need to train them up on the way they should go to please God. That is your duty, to train the child up. Duty number two, children. Listen to your parents if they teach you how to do the ways of the Lord. It's a two-way street. In the book of Titus, I have some more information in case you didn't know. Chapter 2 of Titus, starting with verse 1. As for you, this is Paul writing to Titus, teach what according to sound doctrine. Telling him to teach sound doctrine as he teaches. Verse 2, older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in the faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older men, that's what you should be. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, or slaves to much wine, They are to teach what is good, and so train up the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, submissive to your own husbands, that the word of God be not reviled. Older men, did you know this is how you're supposed to act? Older women, did you know this is all your, some of your duties as you train children? Verse 6. Likewise, urge the young men to be self-controlled. Show yourself in all respect to a model of good works. And in your teaching, show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned. So if an opportunity may come to put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. We are not our own. We're bought with a price. We are the temple of God. Matthew 7:21, one we've used many, many times. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. The world teaches, go to the church of your choice. It doesn't matter as long as you're religious. The devil teaches us, choose your own church. The devil teaches us that a good person is going to make it to heaven. Verse 21 said, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father which is in heaven. The only ones that are going to get in the kingdom are what? The ones that does the will of his Father. If you love me, keep my commandments. This is, you know. So if you want to be in the right group, you've got to follow his commandments. 22. Now on that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And cast out demons in your name? And do many wonderful works in your name? And then I will declare unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work lawlessness. Christ established one church. These so-called righteous people or followers of God, God didn't know them. They claimed to be Christians. They claimed to be followers of God. God didn't know them. There's many religious organizations in the world today. God doesn't know them. They're doing that because of their own greed, false teachings, wanted it their way. I don't like the way you teach, so I'm going to go teach something else. Judgment day is coming. Is God going to say, well done, thou faithful servant? Or is he going to say, depart from me, I never knew you? Did you know what it's going to cost you to be in God's select Christians? A living sacrifice. Did you know you have to be in Christ to have Christ's blessings? You have to be in Christ to have your sins taken away. You can't just sit in the chicken house and say, I'm a chicken. Come to the Lord's church Sunday morning doesn't make you a Christian. You have to do what the Lord tells you to. If we can help you anyway, why don't you come while we stand and sing.